Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
A very good morning to you. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon here in the studio today, and we're taking your calls. I'm going to go ahead and give you that phone number right now if you would like to call with your questions, or maybe you didn't get in last week. It's 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. 421-5757, talking about your health as you're aging, as we're aging, maybe some medicines that you're on, or you've been diagnosed with something you don't quite understand, and you'd like us to talk about that, or what some of your options may be as we're olding, as we're aging.
Olding?
So, as we're olding, yes.
Okay, there's a new phrase.
Yes. So, as we're olding.
It's your hot span as you're olding.
I love it. Yeah, we create our own words here on Leading Edge Medicine that only Dr. Mixon knows. So there you go. So welcome to the show. We're glad you're here. This is the number to get through and get in our phone queue right away. It's 206-421-5757. Dr. Mixon, I noticed that you brought in some information that you wanted to talk about. About diabetes, was that on some of the information that I saw laying on your desk?
Yes, it was. There's a fascinating study that is 176 weeks long, which is about 3.5 years, in which they put people on some of the new weight loss medications. And everybody in the study was pre-diabetic. So that meant they had a hemoglobin A1C of 5.7 or above. They were not yet diabetic, but they were moving in that direction. And what they found was that by putting them on the weight loss medications, they lost an average over a 3.5 year period of 23% of their body mass.
Wow.
So if they were, say, a 250-pound person, they would have lost like 56 pounds.
Which brings them below below 200.
To below 200.
Yeah.
Now, if they were a 5'5" woman, they're still pretty chubby.
Yeah.
But, you know, better than they were.
Right.
And that weight loss, that 23% weight loss over a 3.5 year period, reduced their risk of converting to overt diabetes by 94%.
Wow.
So 94%. Less diabetes in the active treatment group than in the control group.
It's phenomenal. We have to stop for a second here and talk about that 94%. Remember, we never really get numbers like 94% for anything.
We don't. Wow. You know, if we get a shift of 6 and 7%, that's usually statistically significant. You know, if you get 15%, that's overwhelming. I mean, doctors just jump up and down and clap their hands with glee.
Yeah.
But 94% less diabetes, that's incredible.
Right.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
And the only intervention was one injection a week over the 3.5 year period.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, the drugs definitely are making their mark. And the GLP-1 agonist, which was the first class of drug, the semaglutides, they have shown less weight loss than the new tirzepatide class of drugs that show more weight loss.
Yes.
But then together they are helping and change the landscape in management of both diabetes and heart disease, as well as weight optimization.
That's right. Yes, well, and if you don't get the diabetes, your risk of dementia goes down, your risk of stroke goes down, your risk of heart attacks go down, your risk of depression goes down, the risk of degenerative joint disease goes down.
Wow.
I mean, the list of problems with diabetes is just overwhelming.
Yeah.
And that doesn't even start to mention vision loss, kidney failure, ending up on dialysis.
I mean, right.
All sorts of horrible things. So, you know, I have said for years, if I could make one change in America, if I had a magic wand that I could simply wave, it would be to make America a lean country.
Mm.
Because that would cut the medical care costs in America by more than 50%. If we were not the fattest industrialized country on earth,
yeah,
we would have a whole lot less medical expense.
Yeah. For sure. And it's, you know, the thing, though, is that, Jerry, is we used to think that fat is just innocuous.
We used to think it was cosmetic.
But but it's not.
No.
It is actually dangerous.
Fat is actually an active gland.
Mm-hmm.
It's producing enzymes, peptides, hormones, and proteins that are destructive, that actually increase atherosclerotic change in our arteries, that cause our brain cells to die faster.
Yeah.
That cause the cartilage in our joints to wither away and degenerate much faster.
Yeah.
So yes, and it's killing the blood vessels in our kidneys, which is why we end up going into kidney failure. Being overweight is incredibly destructive.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're finding really is that there is now if you can envision an old-fashioned balance scale, on one side, you've got fat.
Yeah.
And on the other side, you've got muscle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And muscle is producing more than 600 peptides now. I remember when we used to have identified 100, I thought that was a lot.
Mm.
And then it went to 300 and 600 now. And probably we aren't done. But 600 different peptides that are pro-health, that actually help you to grow new brain tissue, to help you repair your blood vessels, to help you preserve your vision, to help you lower your blood sugar, to help you stimulate stem cell production so you're able to grow and heal and repair new tissue.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely amazing. And so what we really need to do is get as little body fat as practical, balanced against as much working muscle as practical.
Right.
And if we can shift that balance, most of the chronic diseases of old age go away.
Right. Yeah, and the beauty about it is that we can do it at any stage we are at. It's never too late. We can begin now.
Well, yeah, okay.
Well, I don't want anybody in their 70s listening and saying they can't do it.
No, they can't.
Because they can.
But here's the problem. Once you've developed the disease,
yes,
damage is being done.
Well,
so what we can do is to slow the damage, to some degree reverse the damage.
Yeah.
But if we could get people in their 30s to not gain those first pounds.
Yeah.
And to stay lean and to stay fit through your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, we might well find a health span in America approaching 100.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a hard concept for people to recognize, but the important thing is exactly what you said. Chronic disease doesn't just happen. It starts decades. It starts when you're normal, when you're healthy, when you're at your peak, and then it's progressively downstairs. In fact, I think it was in one of the southern states that they did a study in Louisiana, I believe, where they showed atherosclerotic changes beginning in teenage children.
Yes.
And so that is dangerous. You know that it is a continuum. You know it's only going to get worse. And the point is, at what stage do you say, okay, now I need to treat it? And then it's too late. Because now that the treatment arm is started, it may not reverse you back to where you were healthier.
That's right.
But if you are in the continuum where before they say, oh, it's now a medical diagnosis, you can actually do something to reverse it.
And the idea is to intervene before you
right.
have the disease diagnosis.
Correct.
And
yeah.
the earlier you can start, the better off we
right.
are. I mean, I wish that I had been able to start my program when I was in my 30s instead of 49, which
well,
is where
I started.
Well,
you didn't know then, right?
Didn't exist.
But now we know.
Yeah.
And then if you wait for the medical system, you're definitely waiting for too long because you're
yep.
waiting for a diagnosis. They may recognize that it's happening, but they are bound and they're not going to be able to do anything for you until it becomes a problem. And then, too, they will just give you a prescription medication to help you manage what you have.
Yep.
It's not going to be, let's work on trying to reverse this or slow down the progression or make it better for you.
You know, the first inklings of what was going on actually was in the early 1950s
mm-hmm.
during the Korean War.
Okay.
And autopsies on young American soldiers who were young men in their 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old,
uh-huh.
these young men that were killed in combat,
mm-hmm.
We were already seeing atherosclerotic plaque starting to be laid down in their arteries.
Ah.
Okay. And so we've known since the 1950s that this cardiovascular disease that now leads to strokes and dementia and so on actually starts in our 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was not clinically significant because enough blood was still going through. You weren't getting chest pain when you exercised.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you weren't having strokes. Your blood pressure had not yet gone up. And so they said, well, it's innocuous. It's not a disease yet. Actually, it is a disease.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it has not yet shown you the symptoms of the disease. Okay. But if you had tuberculosis growing in your lung, but you were not yet coughing and short of breath, would you say, oh, that's okay. I don't care that I got tuberculosis growing.
Mm.
If you had a glioblastoma, a cancer growing in your brain, would you say, oh, that's okay because I am not yet having memory and cognitive problems from my brain cancer?
Mm.
Of course not. You say, I don't want cancer growing in my brain and I don't want tuberculosis growing in my lung. I don't want HIV virus circulating in my bloodstream, even though I'm as yet symptom free. And yet for some perverse reason, we do that with diseases in America. If they don't yet give us symptoms, we don't consider them to be important enough to address.
Mm.
And that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's just flat out wrong.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to be doing is saying, let's not let the disease get so far advanced that we're having symptoms from it.
Right.
Let's intervene early.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right, because the advantage of doing that means you avoid the problems that are coming down the road.
Yes.
You actually change it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, well, I'm getting a signal here that says we have to go take a little break. But when we get back, I'm going to wax, not exactly eloquent, but I'm going to yammer on a bit about this concept.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back with Dr. Jerry Mixon yammering on Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. Let me give you the phone number so that you can get into the phone queue. It's 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. Stay here.
We do.
And we're back with Leading Edge Medicine.
Actually,
welcome to
I don't
the
always
show.
Feel good.
You don't?
No. I felt pretty crummy for about 6 weeks while my wife and daughter were in China and I was by myself.
Yes, this is true.
Oh, I miss them so horribly.
Oh, but you have a big smile on your face today.
No, they
Dr.
came
Mixon.
Home Wednesday. That's why.
There you go. Yes. Yes.
I am getting my evening cuddles and my little daughter sits on daddy's lap and huggles me.
Oh, of course. They miss their dad too.
Yes.
So welcome back, Dr. Mixon's
That's
family.
Right.
We have a happy
so
Dr. Mixon.
So much happier now. I'm
yes,
getting
you
all
are.
My poor babies and huggles.
Oh, no. Yes, I hope.
Well, anyway.
All right. Well, let's finish up with the
My yammer?
Yes, we're talking about the diabetes and
Mixon's
yammer.
I'm going to segue a bit in this yammer to breast cancer.
Okay.
You know, we now know that breast cancer is a hormone deficiency disease for most women. There are women that have genetic predispositions. You know, you can have a couple of specific genetic predispositions that say you have a 99% chance of getting breast cancer mm-hmm. during your lifetime. And mm-hmm. those women often go for, you know, bilateral mastectomies just because no breast, no breast cancer.
Right.
But for most women, as the hormone levels decline, the risk of breast cancer rises. Mm. And young women who have the highest hormone levels, the highest testosterone, progesterone, estradiol, have the lowest risk of breast cancer. Mm. And then as those levels start to decline significantly in your late 30s, the risk of breast cancer starts to rise at a far more significant rate. And then in your 40s, it goes up faster, in your 50s, even faster. And as all your hormone levels are falling, your breast cancer risk is going up. Mm. And yet, for some reason, we've always said, well, we thought it was the breast cancer being caused by the hormones. But if that was the case, the women with the highest hormone levels would have the most breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And it turns out the women with the lowest hormone levels have the most breast cancer. Mm. We now also have recognized that estrogen, while women have more estrogen than men, the primary female sex hormone is not estrogen, it's testosterone. For men and women both, testosterone is our primary sex hormone. And in fact, a healthy young woman has got 2 to 3 times more testosterone in her bloodstream than she has estrogen. Now, by menopause, you're still making estrogen. In fact, your estrogen is only down about 50%. Mm-hmm. Your progesterone is down around 65 to 70%, and that's why you stop having your period, mm-hmm. is your progesterone is now too low to allow you to have a menstrual cycle. Mm-hmm. But your testosterone is down 80%, 80 to 85%. And it's that profound loss in testosterone that is causing the massive shift towards body fat and the memory loss and the anxiety and the depression that goes along with menopause. So it's not estrogen loss, it's primarily testosterone loss. Mm. And what we've now found is that women who have been on no hormones at all in their life, just what their own body produced, they get in their lifetime about 300 cases of breast cancer per 100,000 woman years. So if you had 10,000 women for 10 years, 300 of them would get breast cancer. Okay. If we put those women in their 50s, when they've already lost 85% of their testosterone, if we just put them on testosterone, not estrogen, we can reduce that breast cancer risk from 300 cases per 100,000 women to 50. Mm. 50. Mm. We save 250 of those women from breast cancer out of 300. That's mind-boggling, okay? And here's the really interesting thing. That's not even starting their testosterone until they are in their 50s and have already lost 80% of it. Mm. Breast cancer, like any other cancer, doesn't just go from a healthy tissue and bang, one day it turned cancerous. It goes through a series of stages. You've got healthy tissue, and now you develop some mild atypia. The cells are not quite as healthy and normal as they were before. And then it becomes more severe atypia. And then it becomes what we call dysplasia. And then it goes to moderate and severe dysplasia. And then finally, after a period of a decade or more, it becomes an overt cancer. And then that cancer starts really tiny, too small for us to find. And so the average woman has had her breast cancer for about 5 years on average before it's big enough for us to even recognize she has it. Mm. So when you get diagnosed with breast cancer today, you probably had it for 5 years already. And you had the dysplasia and atypia that was heading towards cancer for probably 10 to 15 years before that. So when we see the rise in breast cancer in women in their 50s, what we're really looking at is women in their 30s that are already starting to get the changes because their hormone levels are declining. I am convinced, though no one has yet done the studies, that if we were to do with American women writ large what I have done for my wife and start them in their early 30s and keep their hormones at those 25-year-old ranges all through as they age, mm-hmm. I'm going to bet we could probably cut the breast cancer risk from 300 per 100,000 women to one or two. The problem is we don't intervene early enough because we don't count it as a disease until you get the symptom. And in this case, the symptoms are memory loss, dry skin, increased body fat, degenerating joints, increased risk of heart attacks and strokes and dementia and cancer. Now we say, oh, you're menopausal.
You're normal.
Yeah. And what do we treat?
Yeah.
We treat the hot flashes.
Yeah.
We treat the hot flashes and some of the mood swings, and we ignore all the other stuff that's going to kill that woman. Mm. Why? It makes no sense to me. No sense at all. Mm. But it's the way it is done. It's the, quote, standard of care.
Care, yeah.
And I am convinced more and more as I age, the standard of care is stupid.
Mm.
All right. Oh, well.
Wow.
I can't change the world, but I can change what the treatment my wife gets, and I can change the treatment your wife gets if you'll send her to us in her 30s. And that's when we really ought to see her, not her 50s, 60s, and 70s. By then, she has diseases, and we're trying to reverse the diseases. We need to get your kids and your grandkids and your nieces and your nephews into Longevity Medical Clinic in their 30s, so they never develop these diseases of aging. Mm. That's really what we need to do.
Absolutely. Dr. Mixon, we're still offering the free health analysis, which is an opportunity to come in and meet our doctors, see our facilities and our staff, and do a couple of simple tests, a blood test and an in-body test, to find out what's going on in your body. And we also really suggest doing the lab test as well. And Dr. Umat, what does that do? That costs some money, but that really gives you so much information as a doctor on what is going on in our bodies.
Yeah, it is actually a very extensive panel, and many of those things you will never really get done anywhere else. And the point about that is to take as wide a scope and look as wide as we can possibly at that first glance. And we're looking for things that are very easy and very common to find, but we don't just do one single test. For example, if you are worried about thyroid and you talk to your provider and they want to look at your thyroid, they will do a TSH, which is the thyroid stimulating hormone, which is basically, as I describe it, a screen for thyroid function. But we do three different tests for the thyroid gland. We don't want to just look at what the TSH is telling us, but we want to look at the actual hormone level. So we measure your free T4, which is the important part of the hormone responsible for memory, and free T3, which is a metabolic function. So we do a little bit more deeper dive into what the problem area could possibly be. So we do extensive blood tests for $595, and then it gets you 1 hour of physician time to review review the labs, to look more in depth at what those numbers really mean. How do you want to read them? What does normal mean? Normal is just a bell-shaped curve, but you want to know where you fall in that curve. Are you at the lowest end of the spectrum on that curve? You're still considered normal, but it means your function is just suboptimal and you are teetering on the point where you'll fall off. And the question is, where do you want to be? And so we look at optimal function and we read those labs wanting you to be able to perform at the best possible.
Absolutely. The number to call to make your appointment to come in for that free health analysis appointment is 1-866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go to our website, which is lmclinic.com. We want to see you here. We want to see you healthy. And we want to see you what, Dr. Mixon?
Stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and happier.
Absolutely. So here is that number one more time to call and make your appointment for that free health analysis appointment to get your blood test and your in-body test. And then you can also decide whether to do the lab, which gives the doctors so much information. The number to call, and you can do that right now, is 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. Or go to our website, which is lmclinic.com. Taking a break, and we'll be back with Jim's question in just a moment. Stay right there.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone.
It's going to be a rainy, cloudy day. A rainy, cloudy day.
Yeah, I was just, we were kind of chuckling about an email that I just received. As in the breaks, I sometimes check my email. And I have this email. Let me read you this, folks, and see if you get the same kick out of it I do.
Okay.
It says, "Dear Jerry..." They're strangers. They should be referring to me by my, dear brilliant Dr. Mixon,
yeah,
or whatever. But
brilliant.
Checking in again. I hope my previous emails reached you. Have you considered being featured as one of the top 50 or the top 10 influential women leaders of 2024?
Wait a minute, women?
Yes. Now, I have to honestly say, no, I have never yet been considered to be one of the most influential
women
leaders of 2024.
Wow. Well,
of any other decade for that matter.
Well, and these days you could actually identify as that if you wanted to.
Okay.
But again, no.
So why not? I will send them a photograph of me, you know, in some briefs flexing my muscles. And say, yes, I'm sure this is the kind of woman you guys find to be really high on your hot scales.
Okay, boy, so, they may put you in the Olympics, Dr. Mixon, if
never
you do
know.
That.
Never know. I may be, what is that swimsuit competition? Sports Illustrated.
Oh, yes.
Maybe I will be in a Sports Illustrated bikini. Who knows?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy.
I don't even know what to say.
Oh, boy. Yes. Okay. Well, why don't we take a phone call?
All right, let's do that.
All right, let's take a call.
A better idea to me anyway.
Oh, my gosh. The imagination goes crazy. Dr. Mixon in a Sports Illustrated cover magazine in a bikini.
I don't think we, Oh, boy. Let's head to Woodinville. We have Patiently waiting on the line. Hi there, Jim.
Hello, Jim. I know that you are impatiently waiting to see me on Sports Illustrated's cover with my hairy chest peeking out between my bikini tops.
Yes. My wife won't let me buy that Sports Illustrated.
You have a smart wife.
That's right. Well, maybe if Dr. Mixon was on the cover.
If I was on the cover, who knows? She might buy your copy.
She might want it, yeah.
Maybe. So I'm 74 years old. I am a longevity patient for the last 9 months. See Dr. Pentland in Kirkland. And things are actually turning around, looking really good. My lost 18 pounds. I bench pressed 225 for the first time since I was in my 50s.
Wow!
So Yeah, so I was really happy with that. He's, you know, I'm taking progesterone, testosterone cream, several other things that he has me on. Pygenol, what is that?
Pygnogenol.
Yeah. There you go. That's protection. Anyway, so that's all great. Things are going really well. And most of the numbers are improving, but there's two that aren't. And the one I'm most worried about is my GFR, which is my kidney function. And when I started, it's been in the low 50s for years. My original physician had me quit taking ibuprofen and aspirin and stuff, and it's been pretty level. But it's dropped now to 45. And Dr. Pentland gave me some things to try to improve that. My physician told me years ago that once it drops below a certain level, you can't improve it. So I'm worried because if this is a permanent damage to my kidney. So my question is it possible taking all these extra things I haven't taken before? And I did go off of metoprolol, which was for my arrhythmia. So I went off of that. Is it possible that the things I'm taking can affect the kidneys in a negative way? And the other question is, can I improve my kidney function?
Okay.
Jerry, can we ask him why he stopped the metoprolol?
We certainly can. Go ahead.
Why did you stop?
Because I had an arrhythmia a few years ago, and they did a heart deal where I went in and they didn't put a stent in. He put me on a statin because I had a blockage in a minor vessel. So he put me on a statin, and the metoprolol was to take care of my arrhythmia. And I told my cardiologist a few months ago when I saw him, I haven't had an arrhythmia or a rapid heartbeat for a long time. Can I go off of that? He says, yeah, you can go off it. My normal resting heart rate is like 46 to 48. Okay. So I've got a fairly low heart rate from being a swimmer and water polo and all that kind of stuff. So that's why I went off it, because I don't want to take any medications I don't need to take.
Sure.
But maybe that has affected the GFR. I don't know. But
yeah. Yeah. Generally, the dogma has been there's not much you can do to improve GFR over time. This chronic kidney disease is just that. And the nephrologists tend to just kind of watch it until it gets bad enough that they start thinking about things like dialysis or transplants.
Yeah, they do want you to avoid things that might be harmful. For example, what he told you, the aspirins, the nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory medications, any toxic drugs. There are many drugs that are metabolized through the kidney, so they would be careful not to give you those. And then they tell you to stay lean and exercise. Oh, and if you have diabetes or high blood pressure, they want to monitor it and manage it so that it doesn't cause progression of kidney disease.
And there are particular blood pressure drugs that are better for your kidneys than others.
Exactly.
So,
my blood pressure has always been fairly low. I'm 114 over 68 or something like that. So I haven't had high blood pressure. I'm not diabetic. Dr. Pentland did tell me to try drinking nettle seed tea, which I'm doing, taking charcoal pills and drinking distilled water. And I drink maybe 100 ounces or so a day. I try to anyway.
Okay.
And he said something about cordyceps, but I don't know what cordyceps is. He said something about cordyceps, but I wrote that down, but I guess I didn't understand what that is. But that's what he has me doing, those three things, nettle seed, tea, charcoal, and distilled water to try to help.
Take it that you're not a smoker, correct?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay, good. So, the big things are what we have just talked about is avoid any toxins, live a clean life, eat clean, maintain optimal weight, exercise regularly, avoid toxins like smoke and nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory, and optimize any other health conditions.
Do you think
our biggest issue with your dropping GFR is, are there things we can do to improve the endothelium of those tiny, tiny blood vessels in your kidneys? And those would be supplements like resveratrol, which tends to be quite beneficial for the lining of the arteries and helps to get you a little better blood flow. There's not a whole lot in the way of prescription drugs and so on that are really available for this.
But Jerry, let's talk to him about the other two numbers that are equally important for renal function.
BUN and creatinine.
Yes.
Yeah. What is your creatinine and what are your, is your blood urea nitrogen?
Let's see here. Off the top of my head, I don't know. I'm not sure I have that in front of me. Sorry. I know it's in some of the paperwork he's given me. I don't have it in front of me here.
All right. Well, and who is your doctor at Longevity?
Pentland.
All right.
Pentland.
Chat with Dr. Pentland about that.
Creatinine is 1.5.
Okay, so that's impaired.
It is high.
Yeah.
Okay,
and what was the other one?
BUN.
BUN.
It'd be right on top of the creatinine.
It says BLD, so it's something different. I don't see a BUN. I do remember him talking about that. But
blood, urea, nitrogen.
Yeah, BUN. Blood, urea, nitrogen.
Yeah.
And then there is another thing called BC ratio, BUN and creatinine ratio as well that they measure.
Yeah.
So there are three or four things that are always stacked together in the CMP or the complete metabolic panel.
Yeah. I must be looking at the wrong page. I'm not seeing it. Comprehensive metabolic panel, BLD. BLD urea nitrogen, is that it?
Yeah, BUN.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I see. 20.6.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Creatinine is high.
1.5
and GFR is low.
Yeah.
So those are two bad signs.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll keep working with them. Last time I went in, it had gotten a couple points better. It was up to 47. So I just want to make sure
You want to make sure you're not drinking too much alcohol, you're not taking in too much salt, and lower your protein intake.
That's what he told me, lower my protein, and my wife told me to quit eating salt. So, okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you for the call, sir.
And good luck, yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back with more calls. Lewis, you are next, then Bob. And if you'd like to get in the call queue, here's the number to call. 206-421-5757. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be right back.
Okay, well, that's better than
the
polka dot bikini.
Yes, for the cover of Sports Illustrated. Maybe next year. I think Dr.
Maybe
Mixon.
Next year?
Yeah, well.
Don't encourage him.
Okay, maybe
Lynette.
3 years away when he turns 50 for a big celebration.
When I turn what?
50.
80.
I'm 77 next week,
that's
and I've earned every wrinkle.
No, when you
I
turn
am proud
80.
Of it.
Yes, when you turn 80. Then we can have the big celebration and you can be on the cover of Sports Illustrated in whatever you choose.
All right.
So there we go. Let's get some phone calls. Here's the number to call for your question for Dr. Mixon or Dr. Umat, 206-421-5757. We're headed up to the beautiful town of Linden and we have Lewis on the line. Welcome, Lewis. Good morning.
Hello, Lewis.
Good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to bring up a couple of things. I want to thank all the doctors, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Umat, because a lot of doctors in recent years, such as yourselves, have found themselves as they approach late middle age, and then they found that they had health issues and overweight or sore joints. They said, wait, this isn't what I was taught in school. So you do a deep dive into the research and literature, and then you give us great advice to lose weight, to lower our blood pressure. I'm 72, and using your advice, Dr. Mixon and others, I've been able to get my blood pressure to normal. I'm on no prescription drugs.
Good for you.
That's awesome.
I've lost 23 pounds and retired, and that's without much exercise. I don't do much exercise other than walking. But what I was calling about was fluoride in particular. That's been in the news again, as it often is. I've heard that most countries in Europe have banned fluoride in water, except for Ireland. And the reason they do that is because they've had reports that the IQ of babies is lowered a few points when the mother is drinking fluoridated water. And I guess as a side issue, there's a lot of money in corporations selling fluoride to municipalities. I think the aluminum industry produces a lot of fluoride, so they much rather sell it than have to dispose of it. And I'm wondering if that's the main reason why we have so much fluoride in our water still, and if you think it is a serious issue, particularly for children and the lowering of IQ.
Wow.
Fluoride in water is just an example of governmental inertia. You know, the idea of it way back when was to try to prevent childhood tooth decay. But it really doesn't matter. You have a stannous fluoride applied to your teeth when you visit the dentist, and that's really all the fluoride you need. You don't need it in your water. It is totally superfluous, and I'm not aware of any studies done in the last 50 years that support widespread fluorination of water as a public health issue. But once it got started, government never likes to admit they were wrong. They tell you that this is what it is.
That's what it is?
That's what it must always be, because heaven forbid we ever make a mistake. You know,
that's
still
worrisome.
Got people like Fauci wearing six masks or something, you know.
Yeah.
And even one does no good. So, yeah, it's just inertia. And, you know, I am not aware of studies showing IQ impact on the kids, but then I've never looked.
Right.
you have to remember, my area of expertise is the opposite end of the aging scale. I pay attention to those of us somewhat north of childhood.
No, you're right. I haven't even paid attention or heard anything, but then I'm not looking actively either. But it's a very important point. And as you said, we just get stuck and we never get out of where we're stuck.
Yeah. So, next time I chat with Brian McKay, maybe I'll...
It'll require a monumental task to try to reverse this and to get changes made everywhere in the country.
That's right, because it's been done now for the best part of 100 years.
As a follow-up, Doctor, could you also address what you think is going on in China now and whether there's new viruses coming our way this winter?
Good question.
Interesting question.
Yeah. I don't know if it's from China per se. I mean, my wife just got back from China. Wife and daughter were there for about the last 6 weeks. And I am so grateful to have them back in my house instead of in our China place.
Of course you are.
But, we are going to have a lot of variants of COVID. And as I have said many times on this radio show, and I just don't know how to emphasize it enough, COVID is an RNA virus, a single strand of nucleic acid. It doesn't have the repair mechanisms of DNA. Okay, DNA is able to repair breaks and substitutions. RNA doesn't. And so it undergoes a lot of changes very quickly. Now, a lot of those changes are not viable, and so those particular viruses die, if you can think of a non-living thing dying. But they at least they become non-viable. But the changes are so frequent and so common that we are always going to have mutations of COVID. And it's just, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
And humans do not make long-term resistance to RNA viruses. Whenever you catch, for instance, the most common RNA virus that everyone is familiar with is the flu, influenza. And you notice you have to have a new flu shot every year.
Yeah.
Because when you get your flu shot, it provides you protection for about 5 to 6 months.
Yeah.
That's it. And so we take our flu shot at the beginning of the, quote, flu season to provide us protection through that season. COVID is a relatively new virus in the human species. You know, it just jumped into our species about 5 years ago. So it's still adapting to us, and we're still adapting to it. And so we're going to probably have 3, 4, 5 different variants of COVID in any given year for the next several years until things finally kind of calm down and stabilize.
So let me ask you this, Jerry. Do you think we should get the vaccine, the new vaccine that is just coming out now?
If you are a chemotherapeutic
cancer survivor
and your immune system is being seriously suppressed, then you probably would be better to take it whenever a COVID starts to come around. But again, when you take your vaccine, you're only going to get protection against that variant for about 5 months. So, you know, taking it over and over and over again is not going to do you much good. If you are morbidly obese, you probably do, because for interesting reasons, COVID grows in our body fat. And the heavier we are, the higher our viral load tends to be, and the higher our risk of a serious infection tends to be. So, you know, if you are lean, if you are fit, if you are not immunosuppressed, I'm not taking the vaccines.
Right. And if you've gotten COVID recently, then you probably have innate immunity that's better than the vaccine. So you don't want to get it.
Yeah. The innate immunity is about a year, like 12 to 13 months if you actually catch the virus, 5 months or so if you take the vaccine. Now, I caught COVID last Friday, and I had a runny nose for 3 or 4 days. I was positive on my COVID test, but other than fatigue, runny nose was the only thing I had. So for me, I'm lean, I'm fit. COVID is a minor cold for me.
All right. Okay, well, thank you, Lewis, for the questions. Did we answer everything you needed?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here, and we will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine and calls from Bill and calls from Bob. So you stay there, and if you'd like to get through, call us at 206-421-5757. We'll be back.